This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm already upset with the way that we have opened the Dan Le Batard Show today here on ESPN Radio. I am Peter Burns. She is Katie George. We're hanging out with you all week long. We've got 17 different Zoom windows open. We've got 45 different lines of communication here for the whole crew. So naturally, I was upset because I had all this show prep. I was ready to rock and roll, Katie, for the whole week. Le Batard Show, it's a big deal, right? And then they play this two-minute intro to the show that's all about game shows. And now I want to throw everything out of the window. I don't want to talk about the Washington Redskins. I don't want to talk about President Trump going over on Bubba Wallace this morning with false information. I don't want to talk about Cam Newton's crazy video that he released on Instagram today. And now I just want to go, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Stop, press your luck. That's the 80. Cats and the squirrels that we'll be chasing over the next, I don't know, 4 days. Hi, Katie. How are you? Good morning.
Hi, Peter Burns. How are you? Throw the rundown out the window, buddy.
Why not?
I'll follow you.
I don't know if there ever is a rundown per se when doing the Le Batard Show. I'm looking at the guys now and they're all kind of shaking their heads saying, no, there isn't one. So I feel like we're going to feel at home. And I always love, like, this is my favorite time of year to do radio. Because I feel like when you do it in October or November, it's easy, right? We're talking about the games. We're talking about press conferences. That's easy. That is just absolute two-foot putt. You knock it in, you move on to the next hole. Here, this time of year, it's always interesting when you fill in for somebody because it's like renting an Airbnb, but you don't care if you get your deposit back whatsoever, Katie. Like, we can just absolutely destroy Le Batard Show for 4 days, and they're going to be like, well, we had nobody else to work for ESPN Radio, so what else were we going to do? And then Dan will never take vacation again, and then the listeners will be happy. So, in essence, what I'm trying to tell you is don't expect a whole lot from us, at least from me, Katie. I feel like you're going to have to...
Set the bar higher.
No, you see, I mean, I am definitely a set the bar low kind of guy. Like, when I come in hosting for a week, I want to be the Cleveland Browns of expectations. And not of, like, the 2019 Cleveland Browns, where we actually thought they were going to be pretty good and they were just a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. I want to be more like the 2016-2017 Cleveland Browns. Like, listen, ritual apology. It's going to be bad for the whole week. Horrible takes. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be upset on Twitter. And therefore, if I do anything just slightly above average, Katie, I feel like we've accomplished something over the next couple of days.
See, this is where we differ, Pete. I want to be the Bryson DeChambeau of ESPN Radio, okay? I've got this hot new bod. I'm flexing. I'm driving the ball 400 yards down the course. That's what I want, and I want people to expect that from us Monday through Thursday as we fill in for Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts.
Do you have your protein shake ready to go? Have you had your 5 eggs, your 7 pounds
of
bacon,
actually,
thing that Bryson has?
I just drank, you know, straight egg yolks, 7 of them.
Good.
As well. So I'm really bulked up, ready for my gains, or is that what people say? I don't know.
I think that's what the kids are saying nowadays.
Is it?
By the way, our guest, we'll talk to Tom Van Heeren, who was our ESPN reporter there at the Mortgage City Classic, or the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where Bryson DeChambeau just basically destroyed the golf course. He'll join us in the Shell Pencil Performance Line a little bit later here on the show. We'll talk to Kenny Smith, talks about basketball as well, too. Of course, they're getting ready to start everybody rolling into the bubble, or how many people are even going to be in the bubble, as we saw the latest news that Milwaukee Bucks have said, hey, shut it down! Shut it down! There might have been a player or players or staff or personnel. We've seen this happen time and time again. Major League Baseball has happened over again. And at least in golf, and that's where I'll start today, of course, how the Dan Le Batard Show always starts with a huge golf take.
Absolutely.
I love what Bryson DeChambeau was able to do this weekend and destroy the golf world. And I want to play this sound, too. Here's Bryson on what the win meant for him and how this whole week came about.
It's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body, changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf, and it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring out things that you may not know and understand yet, but if you keep going down the line and you keep working on it, figuring stuff out, eventually you'll get a little bit better each and every day, and hopefully that leads to something great in the end.
Bryson DeChambeau is the life coach that I needed in my life this week, Katie. And you know what? The life coach that we needed for the year 2020. Like, this has been such a dumpster fire of a 6 months, and I didn't know Bryson crushing 7 egg yolks and protein shakes would be the guy that would just speak the truth that we need in America right now. And you don't like him for whatever reason. I'm trying to figure out what the Katie George hate is on Bryson DeChambeau is right now.
Hate is a strong word, but I do catch myself as I'm listening to that. I'm like, cringing. And I'm passing judgment. And I know it's not good to be a judgmental human being, but to be fair, I was all in. I thought, wow, this is really entertaining to watch when he came back after the quarantine and had this new bod. But then what happened on Saturday during round three for me, I don't know. I think I'm out on Bryson, and I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm going to get back in on him as his career progresses. What happened on Saturday was not cool. And I don't know if you want to start there or we get into it later.
Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. And why we're starting there on Saturday, the way you sounded, if people don't know, if they don't follow golf, they don't know what happened on Saturday. Your build up to what happened on Saturday makes it sound like he found a grandma that was living on the golf course, went out there, punched her left-handed, and then kicked her dog at least 3 streets over, right?
I mean, that's
graphic. Not what happened. Like, that is a hateable thing for Bryson DeChambeau. If Bryson DeChambeau kicks a 94-year-old lady's dog, I got to be honest with you, he's pretty hateable at that point. Yet, you dislike him for a different reason, Katie, and it had to do with the cameraman. I mean, please,
I do.
explain yourself.
Okay. He's on the 7th hole. He's in the bunker. Bad shot, whatever. He chunks it coming out of the bunker, doesn't like his shot, throws his club down. The cameraman who's there helping the television crew broadcast this thing to all the viewers who obviously want to watch sports at home follows him from the bunker all the way up to the green. Apparently, it was pretty close, right? Like, cameraman's trying to get in on the action, wants to show his face, wants to show the emotion of the situation. He's clearly upset. Afterwards, he goes up and has a conversation with the cameraman. I mean, they're standing really, really close together. He seems to get pretty heated. After the round concluded, a reporter asked him, "Hey, what happened on the 7th hole?" He said, quote, "He was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. And I was just like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand it's his job to video me." Yeah, it is. "But at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here. Compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image, I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. It could hurt someone's brand."
See, I love this. I love every minute of it, because you know why? This is the petty thing we hate about sports that's not Black National Anthem or the Washington Redskins, like actual real issues that we're discussing. The fact that we're like, America is healing itself by being upset that a golfer is upset as a cameraman is the America that I need in my life right now.
Yeah, this is what we should be talking about right now in 2020. Like, hey, Bryson, you're making millions of dollars. You hit a bad shot. His job is to document that for the world to see. Like, I'm sorry you have a problem with that. Do you remember which Masters was it? Was it 2016 when Jordan Spieth had like a 5-shot lead going on the back nine of the Masters?
Yes, completely
and just
choked
crumbled.
It. Brett Norman did. Yes.
It was gut-wrenching, right? He like chunked it into the water, what, a couple times?
Right on 12,
bogey.
Yeah, mid-quad, yeah.
Okay, we got to watch that all go down. And as hard as it was to watch, Jordan Spieth was becoming a superstar at that time. Already was. He had already won a Masters at that point. He was trying to go for back-to-back. Like, that to me is part of the game. I'm sorry there's cameramen too close to document it. Like, I don't think you need to point your anger towards the poor cameraman who's there doing his job. Like, Bryson, get over yourself. You've got a hot new bod, but you need to check that hot temper, buddy.
I think he's got a hot new bod, but also I think the gas is explosive. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be dead serious. And I might be a little bit too much here on a Monday morning. And I did not know that I was going to utter that phrase here at 10 a.m. in the first segment.
You didn't.
But yet,
I think you
yet
did.
Here we are. And I think that's where we'll go. In fact, there's no other way to talk about Bryson DeChambeau's gas and to transfer into a SportsCenter update. So let's just try to see if we can make that little nice, awkward transition, Katie. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, you know who's gaining gas or steam, if you will? Peter Burns. The NHL and NHLPA have finalized the protocols.
Yeah,
it was a stretch. They finalized the protocols for the season to resume this summer in Toronto and Edmonton. Both sides were still finalizing the details of a memorandum of understanding for a collective bargaining agreement extension. The three minority owners of the Washington Redskins, businessmen Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combined own about 40% of the team, are seeking to sell their shares in the team because they are, quote, not happy being a partner with owner Daniel Snyder. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Nailed it. Even the transition was pretty good. Katie George, coming up, I do want to talk about the Washington Redskins and why the three minority owners that want to sell 40% of it is a much larger issue than just the name, the logo itself. And if you're an NFL fan, you should be worried as well. We'll talk about that as well. And then Anthony's also going to try to tell me and convince me why this UFC fight is a huge deal that got rescheduled. That all coming up here. Peter Burns, Katie George, in on the Dan Le Batard Show. Welcome back, Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns, Katie George, here on ESPN Radio. You can follow us on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN, and at Katie_George05. And the reason why I say that very slowly, Katie, is because I just realized for, I think, like the last two, 3 weeks, I've been saying your Twitter name wrong, your actual Twitter handle. I've been putting the underscore in the wrong spot. And at first, I felt bad about it, but then I realized anyone who has an underscore in their Twitter account needs to kind of just reexamine how their Twitter account is. Like, you're famous now. You're like, you're former Louisville star, former Miss America, basically, former Instagram model.
Okay.
Maybe still current Instagram model.
No.
And then I realized that I got your Twitter account messed up over the last couple of weeks, but I don't feel bad about it because of the underscore situation. Had you not had the underscore, I feel like that always makes it a whole lot more difficult.
First off, there's so many inaccuracies in that statement that you just had. We will dive into those later on. But Katie George, surprisingly, is a very generic name, Peter Burns. And so I'm not the only one out there. Like, I'm a double first namer. You know, it's hard to find a Twitter handle. 05 was my jersey number when I was in college at Louisville. So I just had to stick to it.
I feel like at the end of this week here on the Le Batard Show, we can get you a new Katie George Twitter account, or at least a new handle.
You think so?
I think we can. That at least makes sense, or there's no more underscore issues of it. By the way, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Get a free battery test, free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. We're going to be talking to Tom Van Herren on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line here in a couple of minutes. He was there with Bryson DeChambeau's win up in Detroit. But before that, the big news that came out yesterday was this news from Dana White when he was explaining, hey, listen, we had a plan, but things change and we can snap our fingers and make things right. Here's what Dana White had to say.
If you look at the 20-year history, this kind of stuff happens. When you get into negotiations for fights, these things happen. Gilbert Burns has been on a tear, was consistently fighting and wanted to continue to fight. And he was the number one contender, so Gilbert Burns made sense. Obviously, Masvidal has become a massive star over the last year and a half, and that's the fight that the people want to see. So when Burns fell out, we got in a room and figured Masvidal out.
I'm told that this is a big deal, and I feel bad about that because I'm not a huge UFC fan. So, Anthony, I want you to come in here and explain to me, UFC-splain to me exactly how big of a deal this is for everyone and why everybody's so pumped up for it.
Well, Peter, it's a uniquely Miami story, and we've been talking about, you know, Jorge Masvidal for a long time because he grew up down here fighting in backyards, and I know a lot of people, when I bring up this name, are going to have that memory of Kimbo Slice, who became a YouTube sensation in the early 2000s of literally just going into somebody's backyard and fighting with no gloves, just, you know, mano a mano. George Masvidal came up fighting in that era and ended up turning into a pretty decent UFC fighter. He was 12-6. He was a guy that was, you know, winning and losing. And obviously, you know, in that sport, you have to win to become number one contender, to become champion of the world. So you can't really lose that much. All of a sudden, Jorge Masvidal turned the corner in his career and just started, you know, whipping people in the butt. And all of a sudden, he turns into the biggest star the UFC has now that a lot of guys have fallen out of that pedestal. And right now we have Kamaru Usman, who is the number one undefeated champion of the welterweight division in the UFC. And they have bad blood with each other. So the fact that Masvidal was going to take this fight with a week's notice shows you how big and how important this fight can be.
So I think it's important, though, because they were originally trying to get this fight set up, right? I mean, they wanted Masvidal and Usman to be the marquee matchup, right? And then I guess the negotiations between the UFC and Masvidal fell through, and that's why they pivoted to Gilbert Burns being on the card. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's been a lot of contract disputes for a lot of the top fighters in UFC, and I think that's where you've had a lot of people say, you know what, we're taking a step back, we got to renegotiate, we got to go to the table, because the way UFC deals work, it's not on a yearly basis, it's on a per fight basis. So you have a contract that ends up being three fights or four fights, and you know, you get pumped in with pay-per-view money. Nobody really knows what the numbers are behind each fight. Jorge Masvidal, obviously one of the biggest stars in the sport, felt like he wasn't getting his end of what the money was. So he was basically almost sitting out, right? Like we have in different sports where you've got somebody, all right, I'm sitting out training camp until I get a new deal. That's what he did, and now he's going to get paid probably close to what he wants, stepping into a championship fight with the undefeated, undisputed welterweight champion on a week's notice. I mean, this is something that we've never seen before.
It's a win-win-win for everybody, right? I mean, I think even if you aren't a UFC fan, you've at least sold me enough, Anthony, where I'm like, all right, I'm interested, right? You know, I'm dialed in now. And if for no other reason, I start looking at, there were different sports leagues that had to deal with coronavirus, Katie, and you and I have talked about this on our Sunday morning show, about how were they going to handle this pandemic and everything that was going on. And it's hard to say that the two unlikely people that I thought that would do pretty well at all of this would be NASCAR and UFC between social, unjust and coronavirus and this pandemic. And yet here we are, right? Consistently, you've had NASCAR be able to race lately. And consistently, you've had UFC have their events over and over and over again. I mean, but my question is that if you're a casual fan, has any of this turned you over? Like all of a sudden, Katie, are you like more apt to, hey, I'm all in on UFC, or now I'm going to be watching more NASCAR? Or is this more like, there's nothing else on, so, you know, I'm flipping channels and now I'll watch it? Like, I don't know how much of this is actually going to turn into more rock solid fans of said sports.
Yeah, I can't say for certain what I'll continue to do moving forward when we have more sports resume, but I'll tell you, I've already bought three pay-per-view fights in the last month and a half, so I've never done that before.
401k thanks you here at the Disney Corporation.
I'm sure they do, but I've been really intrigued by it. I mean, Dana White obviously said he wanted to be first. He was first. They ran their first event without a hitch, a couple of hitches, but it was really well done, I thought. And getting to see an empty arena and actually get to hear what you get to hear ringside, I thought was remarkable. And so that's what's kept me kind of coming back. And then hearing these different storylines, like I can't wait to watch next Saturday when Masvidal and Usman spar off in the ring because of all the heated controversy they've had between the two. Like, they don't like each other. They were both cleared and they're ready to travel to Abu Dhabi. I'm also just going to tune in for the sake of that, like Fight Island. That's intriguing to me. So I can't say for certain if you've made a UFC fan out of me and in its entirety, and I'll continue to watch every single fight, but they've got my money for now, and I'm interested. And that, to me, I think is a big part of all of this. He wanted to get new fans, and I think he's growing his fan base because he was the first to get his entity back up and running during the quarantine.
Now, my question is that where Stu Gotts is right now? Is that why he's not on the show, Chris? Because Stu Gotts, right, he's like a ring guy. Right? Like, this is his stick?
I have no idea how he ended up doing this, but Masvidal's last fight, Stu Gotts walked out with him to his weigh-in in bare feet for some reason, Stu Gotts was. So I don't know. He might be on his way to Abu Dhabi right now.
Billy, yes. Give me a little update here.
So here's the thing about Stu Gotts. Stu Gotts somehow talked his way into walking him out to the ring. That didn't happen, so he just walked him out to the weigh-in, right? Their plan was for his next fight, and he agreed with Masvidal that he would be able to walk him out to the ring. And Stu Gotts hasn't cut his hair for, I want to say, 5 or 6 months now because he was going to try to get matching cornrows to what Masvidal had.
Oh, so he was all in on this thing, right? Yeah.
He was all in on it, but I really don't feel like he's going to be going to Fight Island. So after this fight, who knows when Masvidal will fight again. So it seems as though Stu Gotts has been walking around with, I'll just say, horrible-looking hair for months now. for a fight that he's now not going to be walking him out to and may never walk him out to.
I feel like there you need to see the fine print here on the contract, because in essence, it's like, you know, hey, listen, if like the Ryder Cup, like if that gets postponed later today or later this week, this, like they have a contract, they're saying, all right, the same sponsors are still going to be able to do this. I do feel that at some point, if Stu Gotz is not personally on his way to Abu Dhabi right now, it's only right that the next fight this carries over. I don't think there's a force majeure in Stu Gotz's contract with this fighter that says, listen, if a pandemic happens, you just can't make it happen. If for no other reason, though, I just want another year and after he fights, just so he has to keep this hair thing going. And that will make for wonderful television when we get back. I hate every rejoin of this show because it gets my squirrel voice, my mind, this feeble mind that Peter Burns has going in so many different directions when I know I got to be on point. Because now I'm thinking about dog food. I'm thinking about game shows. This is not going well. Peter Burns, Katie George here in all week long on the Dan Le Batard Show. And, of course, all the guests on the Dan Le Batard Show join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll be talking to Tom Van Heeren, who was our ESPN reporter. Boots on the ground watching Bryson DeChambeau absolutely destroy his drives and the field and a lot of people's conceptions or misconceptions, I'd say, about golfers. But before we get into him, Katie George is now for a SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Well, the NHL and NHLPA have finalized the protocols for the season to resume this summer in Toronto and Edmonton. Both sides were still finalizing the details of a memorandum of understanding for a collective bargaining agreement extension. The three minority owners of the Washington Redskins, businessmen Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combined owned about 40% of the team, are seeking to sell their shares in the team because they are not, quote, happy being a partner with owner Daniel Snyder. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, there you go. And joining us right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is Tom Van Heeren. And Tom, let's start with this. Bryson DeChambeau, did he make more fans of his shtick this week with his win, or did he get more detractors after he just destroyed the field after, 23 under there in Detroit?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think there are probably more detractors now. I think, Peter, people like to hate something, right? There's got to be a villain at some point within sports. And I think he's kind of turning into that a little bit. He had an instance out on the course in one of the rounds. Some reporters highlighted he talked to a cameraman about recording him and taping him, and people were talking about that. Some people are saying it's not sustainable. It's not, it is bulking up and adding distance. It's not something that can last forever. So I think even though he went out and did what he did, I think more people are talking about him as a villain instead of him as a winner and what's ahead for him in his career.
I'm glad you brought up the word villain, because I watched the little incident between the cameramen where he said that it's a vulnerable situation to be put in when you hit a bad shot and the cameraman follows you throughout the course up into the green. And he said that it could hurt a player's image or their brand. What did people make of that up in Detroit when that happened?
Yeah, I was actually there when it happened. So the whole thing was interesting because you're out there with no fans. The cameramen on Detroit Golf Club, there aren't as many towers as some of the other courses for the cameras to be in. So a lot of the cameramen are right next to the green. Bryson happened to hit a shot out of the bunker he didn't like. He hit his club into the sand. He noticed that the cameraman, who was probably 10-15 feet away from him, was still recording him. And he went over to him after he finished the hole, and he had a conversation with him. And he said, you know, why are you filming me for so long after my shot? And really, honestly, guys, when I was there watching it, I was intrigued by what happened, but he did not raise his voice. He didn't point at the cameraman. They had what I would say was just a conversation for about 20 to 30 seconds, and then he moved on. And he said to him afterwards, the cameraman said, I got it. I got you. And they both walked away amicably. So I actually didn't think it was as big of a deal as everyone made it out to be. I think the problem ended up being his comments afterwards.
Sure.
And what you just touched on, saying protecting the player's brand and protecting the image. Well, that's not their job. That's not the cameraman's job. He works for CBS Sports. It's not his job to control what the people see. It's your job as an athlete, as a professional athlete, to go out there and display the brand, display the image you want. If you didn't want people to see you slamming your club in the bunker, then don't do it.
Right.
So that's where I had the problem. It wasn't with the act. I thought the act and what happened, I thought that got blown out of proportion because I saw it. I didn't think it was that bad. Had he gone into the press conference afterwards and said, you know what, I was frustrated. I didn't hit a good shot. I shouldn't have hit the bunker the way I did. I shouldn't have said anything to the cameraman. Just a moment of, you know, a mistake that I made. I moved on, talked to him about it, and that's it. I think it would have been a completely different story had he said that instead of what he did.
I kind of just want Tom Van Hare joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. I kind of just want him to turn full heel at this point. Like, he's already got the bro thing going, Tom. But, like, right? I mean, like, I feel like... Not that we need it, but at the end of the day, sports is entertainment. And for Bryson to do this, I mean, that's why, listen, if Kevin Kisner wins yesterday, we don't really talk about that. Matthew Wolff, who is an incredible young talent and has just the funkiest Jim Furyk type swing, and he's going to be a star. Like, if he wins, it's not going to make the Dan Le Batard Show. It's not going to make Sports Center. But now that Bryson does it, he's become one of these characters, right? And I don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing for a sport that's trying to get its foothold with a little bit of a younger generation.
No, I think it's great. And, you know, it's almost like Anakin Skywalker with Bryson DeChambeau, right? He's teetering on, he wants to be good, but there's also, like you said, this villain aspect that could come out. It's interesting to watch, but I agree. I think it's good for the sport. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that with Brooks Koepka at times when he just kind of says what he wants and does what he wants. And I kind of equate it to, Peter, we're both in the college football world as well. And college football coaches always talk about managing your roster, right? So you don't have any holes. You recruit 3 years out. Well, the tour, we look at Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Those guys are getting up in age to where eventually they're not going to be playing on tour anymore, and you have to replace that entertainment value on your roster. And you need guys like this who create buzz, who get people talking. Like you said, we're not talking about this if Kevin Kisner wins. If Tyrrell Hatton goes up and wins, nobody's talking about it right now. So I agree. This is absolutely good for the sport. And Kevin Kisner even said yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau is changing the way the game is played. That's only a good thing for the PGA Tour to have eyes on them.
Tom, Tiger Woods, old man strength, known for working out. Him and Bryson, UFC, Fight Island, if they get added to Dana White's card here in Abu Dhabi, who do you got and when?
Bryson DeChambeau is, I want to say this in a proper way, he is thick, okay? He's built, I just feel like if you're UFC fighting, grappling, you can take guys to the ground, it's going to be tough to get him down on the ground. I mean, I was standing next to him this weekend. He reminds me of, like I said, we're in the college football world, so I cover recruiting too. The whole week, I was like, man, he looks like a freshman in college, a linebacker, who's bulked up a little bit, maybe didn't do it the right way. He's not trimmed his body fat down yet, but he's big. So I can't go against someone that looks like that. Looks like a linebacker. I would go with him all day.
Linebacker's a good call. I was going to go with tight
end.
Katie,
they got thick golfers now. T-H-I-C-C. Thick golfers of the PGA Tour.
Back to a more serious note, Tom. We've obviously seen players test positive, players remove themselves over the last couple of weeks due to the coronavirus. How do you feel like the PGA is kind of adapting and making sure that things are as safe as possible? And what do you think of the job that Jay Monahan has done?
Yeah, adapting is the right word. I think that's been the key, is they put in their protocols, their safety measures, and then they kind of just let it play out and see what needed to be tweaked, what needed to be changed. And we've seen them make some changes to their protocols, make changes to testing. Players are now testing pre-tournament before they can step on site, even on the range or the course. When they first came back, players were being tested before the tournament, but they were allowed to actually go out on the range or the course before they got their test results back. They were just limited they couldn't go indoors, inside the clubhouse. So the tour backed off of that, and now you have to actually get your test results back before you can even go on site. So I think they've done a really good job. Talking to the players, I actually talked to a PGA Tour official this week about this, and that was something that he highlighted. He said, we have to adapt. We have to make sure that we're not just set in our ways and doing it this one way, that as we evolve, as we travel different places and have different challenges, we have to adapt and have to make sure that we're making it as safe as possible. And talking to the players this week, I think they all agree that Jay Monahan has done an outstanding job as commissioner and overseeing all of the protocols. And they've all said they feel comfortable with what they're doing. They feel comfortable with being out there and how everyone's handling everything. And I think one point that I would make, guys, to this is, as other people might want to compare and contrast sports, as we see baseball trying to come back, basketball, football, I think golf had a unique advantage. The inherent nature of this sport, there's a self-policing aspect. There's individual mm-hmm. accountability within the game itself that I think is actually translating to the testing with coronavirus, that they're making sure that they're protecting themselves, because if they're not on the course, they're not going to be making money, but they're also protecting themselves so that they don't cost someone else money. If they test positive or if they've got symptoms, they don't want to pull somebody else off the course from being around them and cost them money. So I think it's interesting to watch as they keep going, but I think they're doing the right things.
Hopefully next time, not only we're talking about golf, we're talking college football as well, too. He's Tom Vinn here. And Tom, go enjoy a week off. You deserved it, my man.
Thanks, Tom.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
We are feeling it here. Peter Burns, Katie George, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Also brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for more ultimate protection and shine no time. We're going to be joined by Kenny Smith a little bit later, talking NBA kind of reopening right now. We talked about Bryson DeChambeau, Peter Burns, and Katie George here on the show. But there's just been this one topic, right, that's been eating at me the entire time. And you know it, Katie. The Washington Redskins and all of this drama. Like, how excited was I to talk about this all on my show, on our show yesterday on Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio?
Super excited. You had points after points after points that you wanted to make.
And so it just makes perfect sense, right? Because now we've gotten to a point where you have the NFL at such an incredible crossroads, right? You've got everything that's going on with Black Lives Matter. Now you've got everything that's happening with the national anthem. And now it's what's going on. Is it the Black National Anthem? And all of a sudden, Daniel Snyder and his three minority owners seem to be at odds. Okay? They're at odds. Now, these three minority owners own 40% of the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Okay? 40% of it. They don't have enough. They don't have enough to make the whole kit and caboodle, but they've got enough to make some waves. And so it's clear to me, clear, crystal clear, Katie George, there is only one thing. There's only one thing that the Washington Redskins can do at this point. And here it is. What you do, you tell Daniel Snyder that
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.